I want to talk with you about television. It's a heavy topic, but I will not apologize when I tell you that I am personally opposed to TV. I don't like TV. When I'm on TV, I don't tell my friends to watch. I don't even tell them when I'm going to be on. I don't want them to watch. It's for the public. I hope that what I'm telling the folk will be the truth and will be not a program, but will be a class for them and will be edifying. And anything that is edifying gives a person power. When you tell a person the truth, it is power for that person. It gives them strength. It gives them the ability to live. It's like what we've discussed this morning. When you have some knowledge, it gives you strength. You can live better in your environment. And television does not always give us truth. It sometimes gives us something that is not truth. And it bothers me a great deal that we have this kind of thing going on right now, that many Americans are watching so much TV. And I was hoping there might be a Lost and Found pen that I could use as a pointer. But you're going to need that too. Let me use this one. It might be. Notice here that in 1983, 72% of Americans were watching TV daily. Daily. Well, that didn't include me, not in 72. It was about 60. Ah, thank you so much. It was about 64 or 65. That we gave away our television set. We had a great big color set when color sets weren't all that common, but we gave it away when I began to realize what it was doing to my children. And my children were the most precious responsibility that I had in this world, and I felt that anything that I knew to be my responsibility toward my children, it would be criminally negligent for me not to do what I felt was the best for them. And so in some households, notice this, in 1965, there were five and a half hours a day spent in television. Oh, that's enormous. 6 hours and 11 minutes by 75, and by 85, 7 hours and 10 minutes. TV has a negative effect if a couple has emotional, sexual, or financial problems. And I believe that with all my heart. I think that I have seen it, although I've not made a literal study on this, a scientific type of study. I have observed it enough times that I think that it is a fact that it has a negative influence on people's lives and on the marriage. People do not know each other when they watch TV. It was one of the happiest days of our lives when we got rid of our TV. I was so thankful that my husband agreed with me on that and that we could... That he didn't mind at all that we gave away that TV set. Now here you will notice how television has just simply gone up. It went up and then it came back down just a little bit in 89. That was, I thought, very good as this came out in USA Today. Thought that it came down just a few minutes every day. That was good. I wish that had held. Unfortunately, that didn't hold. Television and now video games as well have come to dominate the spare time of American children. By age 15, the average child has spent more time watching TV than sitting in the classroom. Of course, you're aware of that. Who knows how many hours children have spent vegged out in front of the TV that could have been spent in more creative, joyful, recreational activities. As for videos, parents report that children could play video games for hours. And that is true. Have you ever noticed a child? They can sit right in front of a TV and they can just watch it for hours. Now listen to this. I wish those words had been mine, but they were chosen by Prodigy, somebody who wrote on Prodigy in 1991. Here is something from a Yale researcher. TV and children's aggressive behavior linked. This was written in 84, Farmington Associated Press article. Though parents shouldn't panic about their children watching TV, I questioned that statement, parents shouldn't panic. After what I'm going to read you in the same article, I'd say parents should panic about their children watching TV. It's an emergency situation, in my opinion. I certainly would be in my household if these things were true about my children. Parents should, although parents shouldn't panic about their children watching TV, there is a definite relationship between television violence and aggressive behavior by children, according to Yale University researcher. In an age where child battering, wife battering, and do you know that they now have husband shelters from angry wives? Your husband can go whose wife is on the warpath and beats him up. We live in a violent society. We need to, I panic about these things. I think it's an emergency thing. We need to do something about this. Children who watched a moderate amount of television, they weren't in this a heavy group, moderate amount of television, were more able to share and work with others and tended to smile more. If your children don't smile, if they aren't happy, they are learning to be morose. And these personality patterns go throughout life. These things that are learned even in the first 2 years of life. If television is your babysitter in the first 2 years of a child's life, they are learning who they are from TV. You want your children to learn who they are from you. Now, what is a child? Well, a child is aggressive, or he is happy, or he is morose, or he is assertive, or he is yielding in personality. Whatever his personality, whatever you want your child to be, you should teach him that. You can teach your child what you want your child to be. How do you know what you want your child to be? Well, you can't really know because that is unguided. You can't know. But the Bible can teach you what kind of personality your child should have. And then you try to help your child to develop that meek and quiet spirit that the Bible says the angels think is beautiful. It's a beautiful spirit to have, a meek and quiet spirit. That's what we want our children to have. Not the aggressive, not the vivacious, not the cantankerous, the direct, uncouth, not very grateful. All these things, we don't want our children to have those kinds of things, and they learn this from television. But if they don't watch a lot of TV, they tend to smile more. I like to see children smiling. I like to see them demure. Even game shows can cause aggressive behavior, such as hitting other children, damaging property. That from watching TV, damaging property, hitting other children? Television watching can also hamper a child's acquisition of the ability to read. The researcher said her studies found that even Sesame Street tries to teach too many things at once. We crowd things into children's minds, and it makes them imbalanced, psychologically imbalanced. The Framingham Library Council last January, that would have been in 84, urged the town's 17,000 inhabitants to give up or limit their television viewing for 1 month. Library officials estimated that 1,000 residents of Farmington quit TV cold turkey, and another 4,000 residents reduced their TV watching time. Well, I hope that you go home from here and you do the cold turkey bit. I like that one. Preschoolers spend roughly one-third of their waking time looking at TV. Preschoolers. What are they learning? His perception of himself and the world, the manner in which he processes and utilizes information, his social role, his personality, all are shaped by the interplay between child and the environment. Researchers have largely ignored the less obvious long-term effects of watching television as a process. We've been mainly focusing on content or programming, but TV as a process, what does it do to the mind of your child? The next time your child watches television, look at him instead of the screen. Ask yourself, what is he doing? Better yet, since chances are he won't be doing anything, or much of anything, ask yourself, what is he not doing? The answer is as follows. He is not scanning, not practicing motor skills, gross or fine, not practicing eye-hand coordination, not using more than two senses, not asking questions, not exploring, not exercising initiative or motivation, not being challenged, not solving problems, not thinking analytically, not exercising imagination, not practicing communication skills, not being either creative or constructive. That's enough to panic about, isn't it? Yes, that's enough to panic about. No wonder we are now saying that our children don't read. They can't read when they're 18 years old. That's a tragedy, isn't it? And to a large degree, maybe from TV. Do we have too much fresh air in here now? No? Okay. Well, the men always shake their head, and some of the women nodded there. So if it's too cold where you are, please do close the door, close the window. Most TV viewers are already in alpha state most of the time. Now, that's what I'm getting at. This is TV as a process. It's what was given here in this Associated Press article published in the Atlanta Constitution in 83. It says that researchers have largely ignored this less obvious thing of TV as a process. But now I want to focus on that just a little bit. Most TV viewers are already in alpha state most of the time. To deepen the trance is easy. Alpha state is the state of hypnosis. Now, we use alpha state for some other things as well, but a large portion of the brain must be involved when we are in alpha state. I hope that nobody is in alpha state this morning. I hope you're all in beta state. That's the process that the brain has when it is in its best gear. That's when it's really working. But here are some things that happen. Notice when we hear a word as compared to seeing it written or thinking about it or speaking it, it stimulates different parts of the brain. It's important that we understand that the brain is a very complex organ, and it's influenced by many different things. Mass hypnosis goes on TV every day. Now, you may think, well, it won't go on with me. It won't go on with me. Well, I can tell you, it will go on with you. It won't go on with me. I'm not hypnotizable. But it will go on with you. Is that correct? No, it goes on with me too. People who watch TV are hypnotizable. What do they find? Well, let's take two men. Let's set these two men in front of a TV set. And we'll turn it on. One man watches TV at least an hour a day. The other man never watches TV. He hasn't watched an hour during the entire last year. So we put these two men in front of the TV set and turn it on. Within less than 2 minutes, Mr. Everyday Watch TV is already in alpha state. Mr. Never Watch TV is still in beta pattern in his electroencephalogram. 45 minutes go by, and gradually Mr. Never Watch slips into an alpha pattern. Day number two, we do the same thing. Put the two men in front of the TV set, turn it on. In less than 2 minutes, Mr. Always Watches in alpha pattern. They say it's in just a few seconds, actually. And Mr. Never Watch TV is still in beta pattern for 10 minutes, and then he slips into alpha pattern. Day number three, put these two men in front of the TV set and turn it on. Mr. Always Watch slips in less than 2 minutes. Mr. Never Watch also slips in less than 2 minutes. Takes less than 2 hours for the TV set to teach him to turn off his judgment center. Now notice this. Here is something that you need to learn. This came from Science News. If you're watching TV, you are mindlessly soaking up a series of fantastic images. Mindlessly. Now, that's alpha pattern. You're awake so that you can record But you can't process. Can't process. You can record, but you can't process. Well, let's look at another one. This is Dr. Eric Pepper of San Francisco State University. Here's what he says. The horror of TV is the bypassing of the judgment center in the encoding of information. Yet forever thereafter, this information influences behavior, character, personality, and disposition. Although the reasons for this behavior and the source of the feelings are not recognized for the individual. And so in the future, you will have thoughts, you will also have expressions that you don't know where they came from, but they are, and you say them as if they were a part of yourself, part of your own moral structure, your own church, your own family background. You say them as if they were a part of you, but they aren't a part of you at all. They haven't been processed by you. They were processed by somebody else and simply put there. Now, this is the way that works in the brain, this bypassing of the judgment center. Let's notice this. But here is the judgment center indicated right here by this little spiral area right here. That's the judgment center. In most right-handed people, it's located in the left parietal portion of the brain. That's right over here on the side. And so that's it right there. Now, in order for us to put something in the judgment center, we have to have processed it already two times. The brain has to have already done two things to it before we can put it there. First thing is, you have to receive it by one of the senses. We have five senses, and so we've got to get the information into the brain through one of the five senses, right here like this. It goes in. Then we receive it. Let's say it goes in from the eyes. Goes way back here, and this big X indicates that we have received it. But that's all. It's just we've been stimulated. The nerves have been stimulated. We haven't processed it. We don't even know what it is. In order for us to know what it is, we have to send it to another area. That's the primary interpretation center. Once we have put it in the primary interpretation center, we know it's horse. But we don't know whether it's a wild horse, threatening horse, good horse, neighbor's horse, my horse, just horse. Then we send it to the judgment center. And there we learn all those things about it. Good horse, non-threatening, my horse, out of the stable, needs to go back in. All those things, you see, we get from the judgment center. Red horse, not the bay, do you see? It's a... We process all these things here in the judgment center. And then once it has been processed, then we send it back. As you can see there, it must then leave the judgment center and go back. TV does not give us time at all for the judgment center, which is where beta pattern occurs. We only get the alpha. We are encoding, but we're not processing. Does that make sense to you? Now, somebody's going to say, but I only watch the news. That's all I ever watch. Have you ever watched the news being made? I don't mean out there where the accident occurred. That's not where the news is made. The news is made in the newsroom. I've been there many times, watched them making it. They make the news. Most audio and visual news has no practical relevance, therefore merely entertainment, trains the mind to enjoy irrelevance. Most news items stay current in the mind only a day or two, serves no daily needs, cannot be used as a basis for planning or decisions. Number three, news is not normal life, yet tends to be regarded so. Much news termed pseudo-eventry by communicators. News trains us to enjoy unrighteousness too, doesn't it? Isn't that what happens with most of the news? What was his name? Wasn't it Dr. Shepherd, who, that was big news for weeks on TV. You remember when that was big news? Then back in the, anybody remember the McCarthy all the McCarthy dirt that came up, everybody enjoyed that. It was a big show, wasn't it? And then anybody, well, you remember all these things that have been on TV? I don't remember anything recently because I haven't watched. But the O.J. Simpson trial took up thousands of hours, didn't it, of people's time? Did it profit them any? Did it teach them how to handle life? Did it teach them how to love God more? Did it teach them how to be more healthy? It taught me nothing. Nothing that I wasn't aware of too much of it. But what I did learn didn't teach me anything. Didn't teach me how to handle life or work with people or do my job any better. It was essentially time wasted. It did not, and it also did not build up anybody. Didn't build up their physical bodies. Yes.
I find all it does for me is
create
fear.
Create fear.
And perfect love talks about
that too.
I focus on love and God's word.
Yes.
Whatever I need to know will know
what to say. That's precisely true. Yes.
Yeah.
The statement right over here. Let's get yours then.
Yeah, I found, and being honest with y'all, I watched 2 hours of that dumb ordeal, and at the end, I was disappointed because nothing happened. It was uneventful, and I was so embarrassed with myself. I'm thinking, what a dummy! You know, I should have hoped that everyone would be okay. But why did I waste 2 hours of my life?
Yes, wasted 2 hours of life. That's exactly what TV is most of the time. A friend of mine has characterized it as trash, trouble, and trivia. And when I watch, I'm usually impressed. But indeed, that's what it was. Did you have something? Okay. Now notice this. This is TV as an educational tool. You'll hear it often said that, well, TV is a great educational tool. Oh, it's wonderful for our children. And our children learn wonderful things from TV. Well, this is according to the famous Emory study, Fred Emory of Australia, National University. Very little cognitive, recallable, analyzable, thought-based learning takes place while watching TV. It decreases mental vigilance. That means it makes the child less able to learn other things. Decreases mental vigilance. Well, that's serious. That's very serious, and so I recommend to you that you not let your children watch TV. And that's pretty much categorical. If I'm going to be on TV, you can let them watch me. But only that little segment that I'm on. Don't let them watch before or after. And if there's a commercial in the meantime, don't let them watch that. Okay. Surface readers, here's more about that. God's Spirit has illuminated every page of Holy Writ, but there are those upon whom it makes little impression because it is imperfectly understood. Why? Because the brain has been trained not to be vigilant. When the shaking comes, that's spoken of in the Bible by the introduction of false theories, the surface readers, anchored nowhere, are like shifting sand. They slide into any position to suit the tenor of their feeling. That means that what we have encoded has not been processed. We don't even know whether it's according to my morals. And concerning that, the psychologists tell us that if a person watches something that they have never seen before, let's say drunkenness, public drunkenness, and they watch it, never seen it before, that it takes them, 35 hours to change their thinking so that public drunkenness is no longer something to be revolted about. But I can remember when I was a little girl, if there was a case of public drunkenness, there was a man who had very red hair who lived in our hometown, a very strong man, and he was a drunkard. Every Saturday night, he had a battle with the police, And my mother, and I always, when if we happened to be doing our grocery shopping at that time, I wanted to see Buster fighting with the police. But my mother would not let me look. And I didn't understand that. I knew that she thought that it was a disgrace, but to me it was just a spectacle to see this red-headed man wrestling with the police. But she didn't think I ought to see it, and she would not allow me to look. She would bring me around behind a building or take me into a store very quickly when I was a little girl, so I could not see that disgraceful thing as a small child. I recommend that kind of attitude toward you, for you, toward your children, that you protect them when they are young and tender. Do not allow them to be exposed to all the wickedness in this world, because it doesn't take many hours of TV watching or of watching street scenes or whatever where there is wickedness of any kind to change their moral thinking on a subject and make it so that they are not at all like the Christ-like, loving, tender-hearted, simple, innocent ones that we want them to be. We don't want them to grow up worldly wise. And you'll remember that the way that the Lord handled Israel, he did not want them to be associated with the pagans who lived in the area where they were supposed to occupy. He wanted them to drive out these pagan places from their land that had been assigned to them. He wanted them not to associate with them, nor pick up their ways, nor worship their gods, nor marry their daughters, so that they could be kept separate. And to a large degree, we need to help our children to understand that Christians are different. They are different from these. We do not think like the TV thinks. We do not act like it acts. And we trust in God. You might say, well, what about the really good TV shows? Those that don't have any immoral sex, those that don't have any violence in them. Couldn't our children watch those? Well, I still say no, because it trains your children that they can handle life without having any involvement with God, that all they need is just secular skills, and this is the way that they can handle life.
You have been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. To order CDs or audio cassettes of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 1-800-233-4450. International calls, please dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americancassette.org. There you will discover the largest selection of genuine Adventist preaching available. American Cassette Ministries is not a one-man band. It's an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Cassette Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? Our email address is info@americancassette.org. We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and financial support are important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.